Base number 19-6461, USA v. Walter Powell. Oral arguments not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Ms. Kelly A. Coca for the appellant.
May it please the court. My name is Kelly Coca and my co-counsel Rula Alush and I represent the appellant. I've reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
The issue in this case is whether the warrantless search of Mr. Powell's motel room, conducted with the express permission and supervision of Lexington police, violated Mr. Powell's Fourth Amendment right to privacy. The government argues that Mr. Powell had been evicted at the time Eugene Zita entered into his room, and that the subsequent search was merely conducted in the presence of Lexington police. But the undisputed facts of the record do not support the government's position and require that the court reverse. As to the second issue presented in our briefing, the Havis issue, we are mindful of the court's recent decision in Garth and in Thomas, and we understand that this panel cannot depart from those decisions, so we would simply reserve the issue and rest on our brief. The undisputed facts establish that Lexington police had knowledge of and participated in the search of Mr. Powell's motel room, and Eugene Zita had the requisite intent to assist them. First, Lexington police performed a protective sweep of Mr. Powell's motel room. Notably, they did so absent any articulable danger, as in fact, Ms. Zita had only gone to the room 15 minutes prior unaccompanied. Next, after they finished their protective sweep, they supervised the search that Eugene Zita began. And to be clear, this was not an eviction, but indeed it was actually a search of the premises, because at no point did Eugene Zita begin to gather the belongings of the guests therein and began her search beginning with the refrigerator, but she testified that she was searching for evidence.
Yes. Counsel, the police didn't ask her to do the search, did they? I mean, they didn't direct her. I mean, it's not one of these cases where the hotel people are helping the police at their direction. I mean, she called them. They are present for sure. But how are they actively participating or directing her in any way?
Well, Your Honor, I would agree that they are present and they did not direct her, but they gave her express permission. At the moment she asked them,
I don't think she requested their permission to search. She called them, as I understand the record, in order to make sure that there wasn't any difficulty from the individual who'd rented the room while she was searching. That is, he or others might, you know, associated with the room, might return and create trouble. Isn't that the reason the police were summoned to the scene?
Your Honor, to that point, there are a few reasons the police were summoned to the scene. Yes, Eugene Zita maintains that she called police for safety purposes, but she also testified that she smelled marijuana, knew that it was illegal, and figured she'd call police. She also testified that she wanted police to smell what she was smelling in case the guest were to challenge her on the smoking fee. While she testified that it was for purposes of the safety sweep, she also went to the guest room 15 minutes prior unaccompanied and knocked on the door without any regard to whether there would be somebody dangerous inside. And there's no evidence in the record that the circumstances changed. Now, she did request their permission to take the package out of the refrigerator, and that's where we run into an issue. The district court made a fact finding that is clear error. It's not supported by the record. The district court found that Eugene Zita took the package out of the fridge on her own volition. But when asked whether it was her decision to take the package out of the fridge, she unequivocally said, "No, I don't think it was my decision. I gave them the decision." And when pressed, she doubled down on this testimony. And when asked what she would have done had they instructed her to leave the package where it was, she testified, "I would have left it." Finally, at the end of the suppression hearing, they asked what her state of mind was when they told her she could take the package out of the fridge. And she testified that she was thinking, "Okay, take the package out of the fridge." But for the express permission of Lexington police, she would have not have taken that package out of the fridge. I would also submit that she would not have actually entered the room as well, because she went to the room 15 minutes prior and chose not to enter at that time, despite that there was no evidence anybody was inside. So because she had Lexington police at her side, she went ahead and conducted a search and entered that room with Lexington police. Now, as to the level of...
What's your position as to why Ms. Zito went to the room? I think she indicated the reason was that she wanted to confirm that smoking had been going on in there, and to gather evidence of the smoking so that she could assess a $200 damages fee. And further, that she had the understanding that the smoking was in violation of hotel policy. That was really the reason she went there, was it not? Or at least that's what she said.
That's what she said. She did testify to that. But bear in mind, she also testified that she wanted police to also smell what she was smelling, and that she knew marijuana was illegal, and that's why she should call police. But as to whether or why she actually conducted that search, yes, it was allegedly to justify a smoking fee. But when asked what she would have done if she instead found white powder, she testified, well, that could be evidence of snorting. So she's not trying to justify a smoking fee if she's looking for evidence of illegal activity. And in fact, that's what she testified she was looking for. She in fact testified she was looking for evidence of illegal activity.
On the other hand, if hotel management comes to the room and there's the scent of marijuana smoke, at that point, it would be reasonable for them to search the room to see if there are any other violations of hotel policy, don't you think?
I would agree with that premise in isolation, and I think that's exactly what we have in Spicer. If we were to look at the Spicer case, their motel cleaning staff smelled marijuana, entered the room believing that it was on the to clean list and observed marijuana, called management, invited management into the room. Management smelled and saw drug paraphernalia, continued to search, and even searched Mr. Spicer's backpack. It was at that point then that she called police. She didn't have police conduct that search with her. She did it independently and then actually evicted the tenant prior to calling police, because recall in Spicer, the Sixth Circuit determined that Mr. Spicer was not yet evicted until the motel manager actually rekeyed his motel room. So she divested him of that ability to reenter that room and his lawful right to be in that room.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Your Honor.
Of course, in this case, the search was initiated by the hotel manager, and as long as she was not acting as an agent of the police or in concert with them, it doesn't matter whether your client had an expectation of privacy, because there's no state action involved. So do we have to get in? If we conclude that this was a search initiated and carried out by the hotel, do we have to get into anything about your client's expectation of privacy or lack of expectation of privacy in the room?
Well, Your Honor, I think you have to find both. You have to find that Mr. Powell had a reasonable expectation of privacy, which I think is very clearly demonstrated by Allen, very clearly demonstrated by Spicer. And you also have to find that the search was, in fact, a search, and Eugene Vito was a government agent. But to that point, I would point, Your Honors, to both cases, Lambert and Howard. Howard controls in this instance. It's that 85 case where both police and an insurance agent were investigating the charred remains of the Howard's home. Police conducted an unlawful search, and it was properly excluded, but the insurance agent also conducted a simultaneous search of the premises, and that was admitted into evidence. Now, the court found that the police were present for and had knowledge of the insurance agent search, and in fact even participated in that. And I think we have just that here. We have an instance where police are present. Police must certainly have knowledge of the search, and police participated when they gave Eugene Zeta express permission to take the package out of the fridge. I would also direct the court's
counsel, I'm confused. I thought in Howard, the insurance investigators, whatever the insurance investigator derived was okay, right? Because that wasn't, he wasn't an agent of the police because he was conducting his own independent investigation for his own purposes. Why does that case not support the government? Here, the hotel manager is conducting a search for her own purpose, which is to assess this $250 smoking fee, and the police are present. But I mean, it doesn't seem like that the presence alone is anything. And if anything, the insurance investigator and the hotel manager here are similarly situated.
I see I'm running short on time. May I answer your question and conclude?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, you're absolutely correct. In Howard, the first prong was met. The prong that the police participated in the search was met. But in Howard, the insurance agent was not deemed a government agent because he didn't have the requisite intent. So because that first prong was met, it supports our case. But as to the intent piece, the distinction here is that the insurance agent had a lawful reason to be on that premise, and he had a duty that he owed to his employer. Here, Eugene Zeta had no lawful reason to be in Mr. Powell's room because she had failed to evict him. The Sixth Circuit is clear. Hotel management has no authority to enter except for routine housekeeping purposes or with the occupant's consent. Neither of that happened here. She had no lawful reason, but to that end,
I thought she had made a decision to evict him. I thought all we looked for is a decision to evict. Am I wrong about that? I mean, I understand that you can manifest it by rekeying the room or doing something else, but it seems to me that we've said, at least she said that she had made a decision. And in one of the cases, I can't remember, maybe it's Bass, at least we say there was no decision made, implying that if you have made a decision and you're going up there, and here she's trying to gather evidence for the fine, not because she's already decided to kick him out, right? I mean, the fine is something different, but kicking him out, she'd already decided.
Sure. I'm out of time. May I continue with answering Your Honor's question?
Yes, they answered the question.
Okay, thank you. The decision is a subjective intent. And Bass actually tells us that, no, we cannot rely on the subjective intent of the motel management in an eviction. You need an affirmative step toward repossessing the room and asserting dominion or control over it. And in fact, the Bass decision in a footnote cites to Allen, where they find that the clear, unmistakable indication of the hotel's eviction of its guests is present in Allen, but absent in Bass, and it's absent here too, Your Honor. For these reasons, Eugene Zeta failed to evict Mr. Powell before she entered the room with police and conducted a search with the Lexington police's assistance therein. And as a result, we would respectfully request that the court vacate Mr. Powell's conviction and reverse the decision of the district court. Thank you.
All right. You're from opposing counsel, Mr. Keebler.
May it please the court, David Keebler on behalf of the government. The standard in the Sixth Circuit is justifiable affirmative steps to repossess the room. Once a hotel employee takes affirmative steps to repossess the room, even if unsuccessful, the right to privacy is terminated. In this case, Eugene Zeta performed a long string of affirmative steps to repossess the room. She initially knocked on the door to try to evict Mr. Powell. Prior to calling the police, she detected the odor of marijuana, testified that it was extremely strong, or that it was strong, and she was concerned that the individuals inside were dangerous. She called police for safety. She produced a master key, keyed into the room while the police were there, only to make sure the circumstance didn't get out of hand. She, once she was inside the room, she began gathering up the trash, gathering up the belongings, and began inspecting for a $250 fine that she was going to assess in conjunction with evicting Mr. Powell. So she took numerous affirmative steps, depriving Mr. Powell's right to privacy and standing to challenge. I agree with you, Judge Clay, that this court doesn't need to reach that issue if this court were to conclude that the hotel employee was not an agent of the government. And I think that the record certainly indicates that she was not an agent of the government. The government must have instigated or participated in the search. The officer that testified at the suppression hearing was quite clear. This was just a routine call. He was only there to ensure that any potential interaction with the guest inside didn't get out of hand, because he's been on these evictions 50 or so times before, and sometimes people get upset. So there was no participation nor instigation. As the court found, their actions were recorded on body camera, and there was no suggestion or request that Ms. Zita search the hotel room. And as Ms. Zita testified, her actions were entirely independent of the government's intent to collect evidence. The government wasn't there to collect evidence, and Ms. Zita's intent at that point was to collect evidence of smoking. Mr. Powell's counsel brought up the illegal activity or evidence of marijuana quote that is laid out in the record and in the government's brief. What she fully said when she was asked, why do you care when you're looking for evidence of smoking, whether there's illegal activity or marijuana? And she stated, so that they have evidence to charge the guest the penalty for smoking in the room. She further stated that sometimes the guests fight these penalties and they contest them with the credit card company. So she goes through and tries to take photographic evidence of the smoking. So on both prongs of the agency determination, she was not an agent of the government. She was trying to find evidence of smoking, and the police were simply there to supervise the eviction process in the event that someone may have been in the room or in the event that someone may.
What do we do with the exact moment when she asks them about the refrigerator and whether she can take that out of the refrigerator? I mean, why aren't the police at that exact moment participating and directing her such that that's a police search?
Because if you look at the totality of the circumstances, the police are standing at the door supervising an eviction while Ms. Zita is in there looking for evidence of smoking, and it's merely a recitation of each role. When Ms. Zita says, there's something in the refrigerator, can you look or can I take it out? She's standing at the refrigerator asking that question. The police officers are in the door jam area or in the hallway area, and they're simply saying, yeah, you can. You're the hotel employee. You're evicting these people. This is not a government search. This is not a...
You're elaborating a little bit on what was said to suggest what was meant, right? All those words weren't said, right?
Correct, Your Honor. Correct. The words that were said were just, one officer said, you can, and one officer said, you can take it out. And given the circumstances, which were in the record, that she's in the room, she testified that she is looking for evidence of smoking, and she is in the process of evicting these individuals, removing the trash, removing their belongings. While the police officers are standing at the door, those circumstances support the district court's finding that there was no search there, and that the words you can or you can take it out did not rise to the level of encouragement. Additionally, Mr. Powell brought up that the reason that the police were at the scene, to supervise the eviction. Ms. Zita testified that she went to the room initially to try to evict the individuals and was unsuccessful. And then after she was unsuccessful, believing that these individuals may be dangerous, summoned the police to supervise the eviction. So in summary, unless the court has...
What is the justification for the protective sweep? I take it there's no independent challenge to that, but if he had an expectation of privacy in the room at the time, why were they allowed to go into the room to make that sweep?
Well, I don't believe they would have an expectation of privacy after they're evicted. And so,
well, okay. Everything. Yeah, but assuming that. But assuming that there's not enough for the eviction, the agent, I understand the agency argument, it doesn't matter whether he's evicted or not, you know, would prevail. But what about the fact that they were actually in the room? I mean, wouldn't that be problematic if he hadn't been evicted?
I don't think it would be problematic given the brief nature of a very limited protective sweep and then retreating back to the door frame.
Doesn't it matter what the purpose of the protective sweep was?
I think it's certainly a factor that is important. They were there to protect. They knew what the officer testified is that some people get upset during this eviction process. And he also said that he didn't want her to go in. I believe he said something to the extent of he didn't want her to go in and get jumped or someone be hiding behind the door when his partner went in. So they did the brief protective sweep not to conduct any investigation and not to do anything further, but simply to ensure there was going to be no issue, no threat to either the hotel employee or the police officers.
Like a community caretaker exception type thing, like one of those exceptions. Community caretaking, that's one of those Fourth Amendment exceptions that sometimes applies, although I think it's controversial about whether it allows you to go into somebody's house.
Sure, and I think that this would be, I guess, slightly different than the level of privacy would be slightly different than the level at your home because you're simply renting a hotel room for a period of time and the bank would ostensibly not come in to repossess your home for smoking in it.
Counsel, do you want to just rely on your brief for the career offender issue?
Yes, Your Honor, my brief, as well as the 28J letter that I filed citing the Garth as well as Thomas cases, I can briefly speak on that. But the habeas court held that attempts no longer qualify. However, in this case, the predicate convictions in Michigan, Mr. Powell's predicate convictions, that statute 333-7401, the least culpable conduct in there is attempted transfer of a controlled substance. And the Thomas court specifically held that, the Thomas case specifically held that attempted transfer is a completed delivery or is a completed crime. So we no longer, I don't believe that issue is in dispute any further.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Sure. Any rebuttal?
You're muted.
I'm having an audio problem here.
You're on mute.
My apologies. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, brief rebuttal. I would simply point out that the government agency test has an objective standard and a subjective standard, or a subjective component, rather. And it is knowledge of the police or participation in the search, which I think is demonstrated by objective facts, and then the private actor's intent in helping the police. And that is a subjective analysis that we look at. As to the objective facts in this case, She asked Lexington police for permission to take the package out of the fridge, and they affirmatively told her she could. That is an objective fact in the record, and we cannot conclude anything, but police knew about the search, they were present during it, and they participated by giving her express permission to carry it through. And then the subjective intent can only be demonstrated by Eugene Zita, and her intent was clear in her testimony that no, she does not believe it was her decision to take the package out of the fridge. She gave that decision to Lexington police. Under Howard, again, knowledge is sufficient.
How do we distinguish between whether she was acting, whether she was requesting permission from the police, or whether she was simply checking with them to make sure they had no objection?
I think that's the same. I mean, Your Honors, if she were in fact looking for evidence to justify a smoking fee, she does not need to ask police permission to do that. And I don't think she asserts that she does. But when she saw something in the fridge, something triggered for her that she ought to ask police whether or not she could take the package out of the fridge. At that point, she became a government agent. If she truly believed that she could do this as a private search, and if government or and if the police truly believed that she could continue this as a private search, they should have stepped out of the room after they realized nobody was in the room. But again, she would not have asked for express permission from Lexington police if she had no intent to assist them. And at that point and moving forward, she was acting at the express permission and instruction of police. Because again, she says she continued her search looking for evidence of illegal activity after that point. So again, we would ask that the court vacate Mr. Powell's conviction and remand and reverse the decision of the district court denying the motion to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's nothing further, the case is submitted.